Sunday morning, 12/17/23. We're going to have a couple of prophets' corners today, and I have to say this has been one of those weeks, I'm telling you. You talk about in the trenches. But anyway, let's get to it. The Holy Spirit said a lot of things to me this week. And it's my heart's cry that you hear me very seriously, because like the word of prophecy said, these are not my ideas and not my orders. These are God's. And so for us to step out and do what God wants us to do, we've got to follow His orders, just like in the military, right? All right, on 12/2/23, the Holy Spirit spoke this to me. You're no longer in training, but now your training is being tested. Mind games. Yeah. All right, Luke chapter 3. Now, you didn't stand up here and read my stuff today, did you? Did you look at anything? Okay, I'll just for the record, he doesn't know anything that I bring. I don't share.
I don't read your stuff anymore.
All right. Like you used to.
I used to glance through.
Yeah, I could just imagine. Anyway. But, you know, you need to know the Holy Spirit's talking to us here. Not just me that you're familiar with, but the Holy Spirit. All right, Luke 3:21-22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. All right, chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. So, he's trained his whole life for this. And finally, John baptizes him, and the Holy Ghost comes upon him. And the first thing the Holy Spirit does is lead him into the desert to be tempted by, not by God, but by the devil. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. Thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. All right. Then on 12/15/23, the Holy Spirit spoke this to me. He reminded me of when he spoke to me about a season of Job-like circumstances were coming. I believe it was in 2021. Then he reminded me of how Job's experienced some horrific things, but then at the end of his season, God gave him double for his trouble. He said that he would not expect you to go through Job-like circumstances and not also reward you at the end with the double portion. Job, let's go to Job 42. Starting with verse 10 there.
What chapter?
42. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him, which we know the Lord didn't bring it, but he allowed it. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Corinne Hapuk. In all the land there were no women found as so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Not bad, huh? All right, James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So the Lord is watching, and he's getting ready to reward. All right, the Lord continues here. Because I'd asked the question, I said, you know, I can't tell you how many years have passed that I had words for the Lord for people, and they turned a deaf ear and a blind eye. Just as the religious leaders of my day were used by Satan to target me, the head of the church, so as Satan used Christians and others in this day to target my apostles first and second, my prophets. Targeted by rank and responsibility in my church, if the leadership is taken out, my people perish, as you have observed. Satan is a legalist, and he targets authority. This is why I have given you authority over Satan's authority. As I was a threat, so are you. As I was in this world, so are you. Now your understanding can be clear in this matter, so you will take the proper stance in view of these attacks. This has been weeks now, y'all, getting your right focus on what's really going on with you. It's not about needing healing. It's not about needing anything other than you're being attacked. It's not about you did something wrong. Let's go down the whole mind game list. No weapon formed against you can prosper if you do it this way. Feeling should never be our gauge. If that is the gauge you use, then you will always feel defeated. You get that? As long as you're looking at what's going on with you and your circumstances, you will have that defeated mentality. The stand of faith has nothing to do with feelings. As I have spoken to you concerning Satan's deterrence, it is for this purpose. Do not take your eyes off the target and unto what you are experiencing. Does faith make the call, or does how you feel make it? It is up to you. More than a conqueror or defeated and depleted. It just wears you out. When you hold your ground and remain undistracted by false evidence, then eventually all will be well. It really is well. That is the truth of the matter. It may not be perceived as well, but it is. When you maintain your stand, you're no longer the targeted, but you become the target Targeter. I didn't put the ER. I better do that. Yeah. In other words, you go from being targeted to being the targeter. Don't play ball with the deceiver, but turn the tables on him. Ready, aim, fire. It's all a mind game. All right, I'm going to look at a few scriptures. All right, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. These are not things you do not know. I've always likened my teaching to phonics. What did phonics do? Come at it with every angle the same thing. It just maybe a little different take on it. Just backwards and forwards until you get it. When they took phonics out of school, kids quit learning. All right, 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Isn't that what gets you down? And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. What's God's knowledge say? Well, you're healed, you're whatever. Divine health, divine wealth. And the devil comes along and says, no. And bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. That's how you maintain that stand. You've got your mind focused on what God has said and not what the evil one is trying to turn your head to look at, get you off the target. This is the worst thing any soldier in the field could ever do. I had a dream many, many, many years ago, and in the dream, I was standing by this pool, and I took my mind or my eye off of what I was looking at. I looked down, and I saw these red eyes, and before you know it, the devil has had me pinned to the ground, just that quick, just that. And there is a scripture, and I didn't look for it. Talks about your right hand and your left hand. You know where that's talking about? It's about defense. It's about your weapons in one right hand and something else in the left hand. Well, that came into this dream that I had. So if Danny finds it, we'll look at it. All right, James chapter 2. For what doth it profit, my brethren? Well, I'll wait till you get there. Okay. 2:14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? For brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and none of you say unto them, depart in peace, but be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So faith isn't just something we talk about or sing about or read about, but it is an action. All right. What thinking processes you are convinced of will steer your actions. where your thoughts are dominate, that's where you're going to follow. We're going to look at some scriptures on that too. Ephesians 3:20 is the first one. Did you find that scripture?
Well, I don't know if this is 2 Corinthians 6, verse 7. I don't know that that's what you're referring to.
Let me look at it real quick while y'all are turning to Ephesians. 6, 7. Yeah, that's it. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arm of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Because in this is how I got this devil off of me. Was the having those weapons in the right hand and on the left. All right. Ephesians 3:20, let me get there. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. So it has to do with your thinking. Ask or think. Philippians 4:8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. Paul goes on to say, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Very simple, but very profound. All right, Proverbs 23:7. Very familiar. Well, for as he thinketh in his heart, that's your mind, so is he. In Jesus' ministry, he healed a lot of people, but even they had to step out by faith against contradictory evidence. All right, Luke chapter 5. There's many stories, but I just picked this one here. 5:17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Now you know that wasn't the blood pump, that's their minds. Rather it's easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine own house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. That's probably what they'd say today. We've seen strange things today. This happened many times in Jesus' ministry. He put the ball in their court. They had to act. They had to put some action to the, you know, what they were believing. Mind games. That's all the devil has. Mind games. The God of this world has blinded the mind of unbelievers so they can't see the truth, can't acknowledge the truth. We see that now more than ever. All right, whatever is dominant in your mind will eventually come out of your mouth. Now I'm going to read two passages of scripture that I've read to you many times, but I hope you'll see it in a new light. Matthew 15. When you finally get the revelation of this, it's going to help you very much. I'm not saying you don't, but verse 11 there, 15. Not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth a man. The whole world is so caught up. Well, Big Pharma's bad, but we swung to the other side, and now you analyze everything you eat. And everything you eat is some kind of healing to something in your body. Everything. Not just one thing. Everything. I'm just going, God. So have they really done any different? They're still in the flesh. Very frustrating for me, especially since these people, I don't have an opportunity to teach them or say anything to them, and I'm not led to even say anything because, it's kind of like Jesus saying, Mama, I don't have anything, about the wine turning the wine, the water into wine. When your time comes, your time comes, but you have to sit in silence, and it's nearly like torment to hear this constantly. Let me read it again. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. He's talking about that stinking thinking. He's talking about where you create, where you meditate. You're either meditating on what you should, or the devil is like throwing his bait out, and you're going after the lure. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? If I was to go into a church this morning and say these things to them, what would you think would happen? Get a rope? And he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. There's not anyone that you can really follow today, so you better be following the Lord. I'm trying to remember who... There was someone I was listening to. I think I sent it to you. I might have sent it to you too, where he said, no, you can't trust any of the truthers because they don't know the truth. They really don't know the truth. They're bringing what they believe to be true, but they don't know the truth. And basically, it's already all been done. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Here's your mind. And they defile the man. See, people don't get it, that it's not things that go in that cure, it's things that come out that cure, or vice versa. That's what they don't understand. They're missing the fact that you produce from your heart. Cancer doesn't come from, I don't care if you drink a gallon of poison, it doesn't come that way. It comes from your thinking processes about it or whatever the case may be. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Oh, out of the heart. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. And I'm telling you literally today, even on the so-called truther channels, everything is about everything that you eat, you drink, you put on your body, you even wear, is dangerous. You see how Satan's narrative has so filled the world? All right, Matthew, Mark 7 kind of is the same thing, says a little differently, but I do. I get very frustrated. I said, Lord, how can we get this message out? I don't know what else to do. I'm on television. I'm here on Sunday, Wednesday. Like I said, I have a word for a man right now, but I don't know what to do with it because I don't think he would even want to hear anything I had to say. I'm thinking, you know, I don't know what to do. What do I do? Or he spoke me something. I won't say that I'm supposed to even give it to the person, but I know. I know something that happened to them and what happened. But I've given words to people. One of them was about a generational curse. They didn't do anything. They went to the doctor and got meds. You can't get rid of a generational curse with meds. It's all about the money. All right, 7. I'm not frustrated with y'all. I'm just... That's why I teach it. The Holy Spirit has me teach it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Because... you can't just buzz the tire one time. I guess I'm Maverick. It's time to buzz the tire again. Because God wants so much for us to be able to stand and to believe Him and not be dissuaded, not be pulled off by our circumstances and things. That's what this training's been about, to get us now that we can now take orders from Him and execute His orders. It's been painful. It's been painful for all of us. All right. Where did I just read? 15. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I heard a man say this in a trial. He was under congressional questioning. He said, you could drink Roundup and buy the glass full and it wouldn't hurt you. What happened? They put warnings on there. How deadly it is. And people believe it. Put warnings out there if you've ever used it. Oh, the warning. Why do you think all these warnings about everything? Cigarette smoking, whatever. It's all a bunch of crap. What do you think the godless world has done? He's trying to scare you to death. But the things which come out of him, see, the devil, he's hoping that you'll hear it so much and hear it so much and hear it so much that you'll start, it'll get in your heart and you'll speak it and you'll create it. And he's done a pretty good job of it. But then I'm a lunatic if I stand up here and tell you, no, it's your thinking. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know what? It's all about the inside, isn't it? And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Doesn't go through his mind. Goes through his digestive system. Which I've said this before. You got a tank of acid right there ready to eat you. God had a good cleaning system, didn't he? God knew how to do it. Because it entereth not into his heart. Didn't I just say that? But into the belly, and goeth into the draught, purging all meat. In and out. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, and all these evil things come from within and defile the man. You can have a pharmacy in your house. It just makes the devil's bunch rich. You think they don't know? We've been so ingrained in it, though, people spout it all the time and don't think anything about it. All right. You have the power, not the devil. You can choose which master you will serve. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, there it is. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? I know of a fact. It used to be everywhere I went. I don't go so many places now. Somebody's telling their tale. Of how bad it is, and how this is happening, and how that is happening. Right here, all this. Better go get your money out of the bank. Better go put it in a gold, 401k. And you better do this, you better do that. And these Christians, take no thought, saying. You know, I really think that most of what everybody's saying are either good or bad. They won't any of it happen. Not for us. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you believe that you're going to just, we won't even realize there's a transition until we see mortgage paid off, debt paid off, our bank accounts with lots of money in them. I mean, it'll be the way you want it to be. I believe that. We're here to change things. We're not here to be dictated to and told how it's going to be. That's what got us in trouble. We're here to do the dictating. We're here to do the changing. Rules, regulations, and laws change to our advantage when necessary. We don't have to play by the devil's rules. We got to whip him at his own game. If he can't get you off the target, he's toast. Just think about that. All right. Hebrews 12:3. For consider him, well, let me just read the first three. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. That means to relax. That dream I told you about, what did I do? I took my eye off the target. I relaxed. And the devil was on me. It's, I mean, like that. All right, faint means to relax. There's probably some other scriptures with that word in it. That's the one that came to me. All right. You are not obligated to accommodate your flesh. Just because you see or feel things that are unpleasant, false evidence is merely an opportunity to accept the lie. But it does not mean that it is real. He's just trying to get you to take it. If you believe it and act on it, then it can become real. He's counting on that. Satan only lies. He cannot tell the truth. There is no truth in him. Remember that. When whatever comes, he can't tell the truth. The truth is what my word declares. You will know the truth. The truth will make you free. Once you learn to live this way, you will never be double-minded again. It's being convinced. Two or three more scriptures here and we'll be done. This is Matthew 12. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here. It says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart, it's the mind, bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So you see the mind and the words working together here. Right here, heart means the thoughts, feelings, and the mind. Okay.